time now for the 1215 News from the Steve Thompson Country Financial News Desk. Steve Thompson, your Country Financial representative, located on the square in West Salem. Today's Fairfield area weather forecast, mostly sunny with a high of 88. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 70. I'm Jeff Vaughn reporting the news. 43-year-old Ryan R. Mattingly and 37-year-old Kendra L. York, both of McLeansboro, were arrested early yesterday morning by county deputies. Mattingly was arrested on a Hamilton County warrant for domestic battery, and both were charged with possession of drug paraphernalia and possession of methamphetamine. According to police reports, at about 12:36, county deputies and Fairfield police arrived at the Briarwood Inn to investigate a tip of a wanted subject from Hamilton County. Upon arrival, police saw a vehicle pull into the lot and Mattingly exited. Police then left their vehicle and called for Mattingly, but he continued inside. Police learned what room he was staying in and knocked on the door, and both a male and female voice answered. Upon identifying themselves and stating that they were there to speak with Mattingly, the female, later identified as Kendra York, said he wasn't there. Police responded that they knew he was, and they weren't going to leave. After a few minutes, they knocked again and told York that she was obstructing an investigation and could be arrested too. After a short time, Mattingly came out of the room, was taken into custody, and was taken outside to a squad car. While waiting outside the room, deputies had heard a toilet flush, which made them suspect an attempt to dispose of illicit drugs. Police asked York if there were any illegal items in the room, and she looked from side to side and replied that she didn't think so. Police gained consent to search the room and found, among other items, 5 grams of cannabis, digital scales, 4 cannabis cigarettes, multiple mason jars with residual amounts of a leafy green substance, a glass meth pipe, and small amounts of meth. York told police that the items weren't hers, and that Mattingly must have placed some of them in her purse and bag when law enforcement arrived. Deputies then gained consent to search her vehicle, where they found a small amount of a white crystal substance that field tested positive for meth. York was then placed under arrest. Both York and Mattingly were transported to the Wayne County Jail and held, pending the posting of bond. Mattingly's bond was set at $2,670, and York's was set at $170. More news next.
Give your home a desperately needed makeover with new flooring from Haas Interiors in Fairfield. They have name brand vinyl plank or tile flooring that is water, pet, and kid proof. Haas Interiors has Mohawk, Shaw, and many other name brands of carpeting in stock and ready to be installed by their experts. Area rugs and 13-foot vinyl flooring in the latest styles and colors are available. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and night times by appointment on West Main in Fairfield.
Live a healthy and fit lifestyle with Silver Sneakers Fitness Classes, offered for free at Frontier Community College to qualifying seniors. Low-impact cardio fit classes build upper body and core strength for a healthy heart, and chair yoga will relieve stress to improve balance and flexibility. Classes last 4 weeks and begin at the start of each month. Visit silversneakers.com to find out if you qualify for these free classes and register with Frontier Community College at 842-3711.
In other news, 26-year-old Sisney resident Dakota S. Atkison was arrested by Illinois State Police yesterday on a White County warrant for failure to appear in court on a charge of operating an uninsured vehicle. He was transported to the Wayne County Jail and held, pending the posting of $100 bond. A 19-year-old Mount Vernon man is in the Jefferson County Jail in connection with an incident Saturday in which he allegedly fired shots at a family member. According to police, at 12:23 p.m., officers responded to South 21st Street in Mount Vernon for a report of a family member taking a shot at another family member following a dispute. No injuries were reported. When officers arrived on scene, the alleged offender, Elias Hernandez, had already left the scene. While officers were speaking with the reported victim, they observed Hernandez in the area, but when he noticed the police, he fled on foot and was able to avoid capture at the time. Around 5:21 p.m. on Sunday, officers conducted a felony traffic stop on a vehicle believed to be driven by Hernandez, and Hernandez complied with officers' commands and was taken into custody without incident after the stop. He was transported to the Jefferson County Jail, where he's being held on charges of aggravated assault and aggravated unlawful use of a weapon. A 23-year-old Christopher man was arrested after allegedly pulling a handgun out of his pocket during an investigation of a traffic crash in Mount Vernon early Sunday morning. Mount Vernon police say the incident occurred after they were able to extricate Christian Zeem from his vehicle after it struck a tree and rolled over. When an officer asked for his driver's license, Zeem allegedly pulled out the handgun, which was pointed in the direction of others near the scene. The officer was in close proximity to Zeem and was able to disarm him. He was then taken into custody without incident. Zeem was arrested for aggravated unlawful use of a weapon, driving under the influence, failure to reduce speed to avoid an accident, and operating an uninsured vehicle. Many across the region might have seen suspicious messages on their Facebook profile lately. Maybe a message that says, "Hi, I actually got another friend request from you yesterday, which I ignored, so you may want to check your account." According to cybersecurity expert Mark Rogers, that message is a fake. Rogers, a faculty member at John A. Logan College in Carterville, says your account is not sending out duplicate friend requests, and you didn't receive a request from the person you're forwarding it to. He says by sharing the messages, you're only spreading them faster.
This is like the old-fashioned chain letters you used to get, that if you don't forward this to 20 people, you're going to have bad luck. All this is doing is it's tying up network, aggravating people, and it's making people mad because they're getting 15 to 20 messages a day from people saying their account could duplicate it. So they send it to 15 to 20 people, then it's just created a vicious circle.
Rogers says Facebook announced last week that 50 million people were hacked, and he has some advice, particularly for mobile users.
You really need to make sure you log out. Just changing your password's not the good thing to do. So you need to go ahead and basically change your password, log out of your account, then log back into the account. And this is especially important on phones and devices where you never log out of your Facebook account, because most people on their phone, they don't want to log out of that, so they have to log back in. So when you log out, it gets rid of the session token, and it resets everything. Odds are, you've not been compromised, nothing's being stolen.
Rogers says the best course of action for anyone receiving a suspicious message on Facebook is to ignore and delete it. Republic Services is running their normal route this week. There has been and will be no delay because of Columbus Day. Republic asks Fairfield residents to have their trash ready to be picked up on the roadside on their normal pickup day. In a night with few business items on the docket, Fairfield Mayor Brent McGuire and the Fairfield City Council will have a decision to make regarding the purchase of a new police department truck. Mayor McGuire, appearing on the Community Connection program, said the city submitted a grant request, but the council may decide to just go ahead with the purchase of the vehicle.
Earlier this summer, when we were doing appropriations to say, hey, what do we think about the possibility of getting back with that? Just, doing, there was talk maybe do two vehicles to get caught up, but I just kind of said, let's do one. And then we looked at the possibility of getting a grant for that. USDA does have a grant for police vehicles. Unfortunately, their fiscal year doesn't start till, it just started October 1st. So by the time that they get around to knowing what their funding is, and then taking a look at we've already submitted our grant a couple months, our request. So by the time that they get their funding, they took a look at it and approve, it might be next fiscal year. So just asking the council, hey, do we want to go ahead and purchase the vehicle or do we want to hold off and wait to see what happens with the grant?
Regarding the police department's older trucks, Mayor McGuire said they could be transferred to other departments around the city depending on their needs.
I've talked to different departments as well as a garage that, services and maintains our vehicles. Like, what do you think, because we have certain ones that are in, certain departments that have vehicles that are in worse shape, but maybe the use of them is not, they don't use it as much as another department. So trying to balance that out, like who has the most need for it.
The council will meet tonight at 6 at City Hall. Fairfield Memorial Hospital is inviting the public to an open house for the new Horizon Healthcare Grayville Clinic tomorrow from noon to 4 p.m. Visitors will have a chance to tour the newly renovated exam rooms and meet the staff that are working at the Grayville Clinic. Light refreshments will be served, and there will also be several door prizes and one grand prize given away. Drawings for the prizes will be held at 4, though people do not have to be present to win. The Grayville Clinic will be open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and appointments may be made by calling 618-842-2492, and walk-ins are also welcome. The clinic is next to Meadowood Nursing Home located at 319 West Commerce Street in Grayville. Anyone with questions regarding the event or any services offered is asked to call FMH Administration at 618-847-8242. Longtime Fairfield resident Grace Maxine Talbert will turn 100 years old on Saturday, October 20th. Friends and family are hosting a come-and-go card shower on that date in the First Christian Church foyer, located at 100 West Center Street in Fairfield, from 1 to 3 p.m. Maxine Talbert was married to the late Orville Talbert for 60 years and has two daughters, Lana Ray Taylor of Rural Jeff and Cindy Grace Talbert Stern of Evansville, Indiana. She has three grandchildren, two great-grandchildren, and three great-great-grandchildren. She also has one brother, Otis, and a sister-in-law, Carol Brack, of Fairfield. Everyone is invited to come and reminisce with Maxine Talbert and share stories of her 33-year teaching career and 100 years of life. The family requests no gifts be brought. Anyone unable to attend can mail cards to 9 Park Lane in Fairfield. Frontier Community College will be hosting a FAFSA completion night next Tuesday from 4 to 6 p.m. The come-and-go event will be held in Room 32 of the Workforce Development Center on Frontier's campus. The FAFSA completion event is open to anyone in the community who plans to attend college in 2019. FAFSA is the free application for federal student aid, and anyone who anticipates financial aid for college will need to complete the FAFSA application, as it is used to determine the amount awarded in federal and state grants and student loans. Their website is FAFSA.gov. Individuals should bring the following items with them to the FAFSA completion night: their social security number, students and parents, if it's a dependent, the student's driver's license, and 2017 tax returns. The FAFSA completion event is open to all college students, regardless of where the student plans to attend college. For additional information, contact Frontier Community College at 842-3711. Recently discovered documents show that former Southern Illinois University President Randy Dunn might have hindered student recruitment efforts for its Carbondale campus by not approving a mailing list purchase. The Southern Illinoisan reports emails show Dunn did not take action during his final 2 months in office on spending $499,000 to buy contact information for students who have taken the SAT, ACT, and other standardized tests. Carbondale officials say the mailing list is critical to student recruitment, as most colleges are going after the same students. The school's interim president approved the purchase soon after taking office. Dunn resigned in July after criticism over his proposal to shift $5 million in state funding from the Carbondale campus to Edwardsville. The Carbondale campus saw a nearly 12% enrollment drop this fall. The legacy of the steel plow remains an important piece of heritage for the John Deere Historic Site in Grand Detour, located just outside of Dixon. Kent Butterfield is with Landmarks Illinois.
Yeah, the John Deere Historic Site, that, you know, you can go there year-round. It's up by Dixon, Illinois. If you haven't ever been to the John Deere Historic Site, it's great, really significant for the invention of the steel plow in 1837. So this site is a National Historic Landmark, and that might just sound like, oh, it's historic. We have lots of buildings, thousands of buildings in the National Register of Historic Places in this country. We have a very select few that are National Historic Landmarks, and Illinois has one of them in the John Deere Historic Site. If folks are looking at a building in their town, and, you know, maybe it's historic, you know, the first sort of questions is, you know, maybe it's eligible for the National Register of Historic Places. This is going to sound a little counterintuitive, but things that have local significance can be listed on the National Register of Historic Places. So the best example of Victorian architecture in your town, we can put on the National Register. When we're looking to elevate up to the National Historic Landmark, that's got to be significant to the nation's history. So in Illinois, like the Old State Capitol has, you know, that's Lincoln's our House Divided speech was happened there. That's significant to our country. This one for the steel plow, you know, Chicago, some of the early skyscrapers, that's how you get to that National Historic Landmark status.
The John Deere Historic Site is hosting a fall festival this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. That's the news. Area deaths next.
At Hamilton. Hamilton Memorial Family Clinics, your family's care team is close to home. But it's not just about convenience. It's compassionate, quality care. From routine care, vaccines, and DOT physicals to acute needs like disease management, x-ray, and lab work. Hamilton Memorial Hospital Family Clinics in Carmine and McLeansboro have you covered. Plus, same-day appointments are available and a Carmine walk-in clinic on Saturdays for those unexpected illnesses. With 6 providers and 8 specialty care clinics, maybe it's time to take another look at Hamilton Memorial Hospital Family Clinics.
They're silent killers, invisible to the human eye, and they cause $3 billion in losses each year. Nematodes rob corn and soybean crops, stealing yields along the way. Until now. Bex Escalate, powered by Nemasect seed treatment, offers farmers an effective way to manage nematodes and insects, providing control within 48 hours. And because Escalate, powered by Nemasect, comes standard on all Bex seed, your crops have an added yield advantage at no additional charge. Visit BexHybrids.com to learn more today.
Currently in Fairfield, it is 85. It's time to check the latest stock market numbers brought to you by Andrew Diesel, your Edward Jones financial advisor, located at 1001 Commerce Drive in Fairfield. The Dow was at 26,440, down 46. The NASDAQ's at 7,737, up 1. November crude oil's at $74.79. That is up 50 cents. This is Derek Dunn reporting for WFIW News.
In local and area deaths, 87-year-old Carmine resident Viola M. Rhine died Sunday morning at the Linda E. White Hospice House in Evansville. She was a member of Carmine New Beginning Church of God. Viola Rhine is survived by her daughter, Sherry Stevens, one grandson, a sister, Jean Bear, and several nieces and nephews. Funeral services for Viola Rhine will be held at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, tomorrow, at the Carmine New Beginning Church of God. Visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. at the church. Graveside rites will be held at 11 a.m. on Thursday at Stokes Chapel Cemetery. Friends and family are asked to go directly to the cemetery. The Stendebach Family Funeral Home in Carmine is in charge of arrangements. 63-year-old McLeansboro resident Rick Lane Miller died on Saturday at his home. He was employed by Wabash and Ohio Valley Special Education District as a social worker. Rick Miller is survived by his wife, Teresa, sons Zachary, Logan, and Brandon, daughter Whitney Miller, his mother, Ava Laverne Miller of McLeansboro, two sisters, Rhonda Carney of Thompsonville and Renee Bernard of Belle Rive, and numerous nieces and nephews. Visitation for Rick Miller will be held at Freedom Church in McLeansboro on Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. Funeral services will be held on Saturday at 11 a.m. at the church. Burial will be at 10 Mile Cemetery. Memorials may be made to Southwestern Indiana Oncology Chemo Buddies or Freedom Baptist Church. The Harry Funeral Home of McLeansboro is in charge of arrangements. 76-year-old Crossville resident Larry Michael Nash Sr. died on Sunday at Deaconess Main Hospital in Evansville, Indiana. He was a Marine Corps veteran and worked in the Illinois Basin oil fields and was retired from Eastern Services in 2009. Larry Nash Sr. is survived by his sons, Larry Michael Nash Jr. of Crossville and Joshua Daniel Nash of Grayville, daughters Lisa Nash Starnes of Belden, Mississippi, Karen Nash Brown of Norris City, Linda Nash Youngman, and Nancy Nash, both of Mount Vernon, Indiana, sisters Shirley Crandall of Texas, Janet Faye Bellamy of St. Charles, Missouri, and Wanda Parson of St. Louis, Missouri, special cousin Steve Edge of Evansville, Indiana, 16 grandchildren, and 4 great-grandchildren. Visitation and funeral for Larry Nash Sr. are Wednesday, tomorrow, at Cook Funeral Chapel in Crossville. Visitation is 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and the funeral is at 1. Burial, with military rites, is in Mount Zion Cemetery near Albion. The Cook Funeral Chapel in Crossville is in charge of arrangements. 79-year-old Fairfield resident Luella Jane Justice, formerly of Clay County, passed away early Sunday morning at Deaconess Hospital in Evansville, Indiana. She loved seeing her family, playing bingo, and watching wrestling on television. Luella Justice is survived by her husband, Bobby Lee Justice of Fairfield, siblings Velda Lambrich of Flora, Everett Young of Reinard, Ida Ratto of Flora, Linda Pruitt of Flora, Charlotte Pride of Flora, and Danny Lee Young of Cottage Grove, Oregon, sister-in-law Linda Rose Young of Oregon, many nieces, nephews, great-nieces, and great-nephews, and a special caregiver niece, Bobby Cambors of Flora. A graveside service for Luella Justice will be held at noon Wednesday, tomorrow, at Powers Cemetery in Xenia, where interment will follow. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. tomorrow at Frank and Bright Funeral Home in Flora. Memorials are suggested to the family to assist with expenses, and they will be accepted through the funeral home. 67-year-old Grayville resident Donna K. Reynolds died Sunday at Oakview Heights Continuous Care and Rehab in Mount Carmel. She was a member of Grace Fellowship Church in Grayville. Donna Reynolds is survived by her husband, Glenn Reynolds of Grayville, son Benjamin Reeder of Evansville, Indiana, daughter Amara Berg of Mishawaka, Indiana, brother Gerald Hall of Stafford, Arizona, sisters Sheila Allman of Fort Branch, Indiana, and Sharon Byes of Griffin, Indiana, three grandchildren, and one great-grandchild. Visitation for Donna Reynolds will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, tomorrow, at Cook Funeral Chapel in Grayville. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. on Thursday at the funeral home. Burial is in Mount Pleasant Cemetery in Griffin, Indiana. The Cook Funeral Chapel in Grayville is in charge of arrangements. And a reminder, our obituaries are updated regularly at WFIWradio.com. I'm Jeff Vaughn reporting.
What if you could undergo a hysterectomy and go home the same day? What if you could undergo a hysterectomy and return to driving in 5 days? What if you could undergo a hysterectomy and return to most normal activities in 2 weeks? With Asbury & Associates, you can. Dr. David Asbury is the most experienced surgeon in Southern Illinois performing robotic hysterectomies using the Da Vinci robot. This state-of-the-art technology offers women many benefits over traditional surgery. This minimally invasive procedure requires only small incisions. You'll experience less pain and blood loss with fewer complications. Call Asbury & Associates to learn more about robotic hysterectomies using the Da Vinci robot. 618-244-4800 or visit our website, asburyandassociates.com. Asbury & Associates, with 4 locations in Southern Illinois to serve you. Asbury & Associates. 618-244-4800.
Your classic hits, WFIW 104.9 Fairfield area weather for today. Mostly sunny skies, a high today of 88. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 70 and a 90% chance for showers tomorrow, a high of 80. I look for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Sunny on Thursday, a high of 60 and low of 40. Partly cloudy on Friday, a high of 60 and low of 42. And partly cloudy on Saturday. Saturday's high will be around 65 with an overnight low around 48.